You be seated. I expect you know a little of the story of Job. He always seems to get a bad press, doesn't he? Because his friends condemn him. Well, the reason why you're suffering, Job, is because clearly you're a great sinner and this is God's punishment for you. No, really, Job's suffering is collateral damage because of the battle between good and evil. He's a righteous sufferer. He's totally innocent. And throughout the book of Job, he wants to ensure that he can trust in God. And while his suffering is undeserved, he bears it bravely. This book brings about the whole question of God's righteousness. How can he justify suffering in this world if he is a just God? A word you might have heard is theodicy, which means the righteousness of God. And theologians have written many books and spent many hours debating the outcome of their discussions about why does God allow suffering in our world? Why does he permit evil sometimes to seem to be taking primary place in our world? And of course, many of our psalms are written that point out to those who are being righteous and faithful to God that the evildoers appear to prosper. Job, throughout his book, wants to hear of God's unconditional love for him, not through what he has done or not done, but because of God's grace. The good press from the book of Job is in that wonderful line, "For I know that my Redeemer lives." Now, do you know, I did not realize that the peace from Messiah came from Job. I have to put my hand up. I thought it was elsewhere in the Bible. So if you're like me, or perhaps you already knew it, this line from Job is that wonderful chorus, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." And it talks about the conviction through hope that Job has. And it's a great foretelling of the life of Christ on earth. We too know that our Redeemer lives. He looks to God and remains faithful even in his times of despair when all is taken from him. He is suffering from sores, his family are killed. And at the end, he knows, however, that because he is loved, he can still love God. We need to hear this in our world today. We need to hear that God loves us, and however much we feel the world is falling apart, we will win through. Good will overcome evil. As we look at Luke's passage, there is something similar here, because whereas Job is looking forward, though my flesh is destroyed, I shall see God. He is foretelling the future resurrection, the future life after death. And the challenge that the Sadducees gave to Jesus was that they did not believe in the resurrection. Job says, "I shall see God in my flesh," whereas the Sadducees subjected Jesus to these and other mocking questions. And they put to him about the multiple marriage through the Levirate law. Levirate means a brother-in-law. So the law was that if a brother died, then his brother should marry the first wife so that the family line would be continued. And of course, Jesus answers quite practically and says, well, in heaven there is no marriage. There is no reason to continue that line because if you are in heaven, your life will continue. And he also referred back to Moses, where Moses was at the burning bush, and God revealed himself to be the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of the living. And so Jesus uses that to say, God isn't the God of the dead, but the God of the living who are with God now. So the patriarchs, while they didn't know Jesus, still in faith are living in God's sight and presence. And Jesus was teaching the Sadducees the reality of the resurrection. And indeed, the worldly state is transformed into the heavenly state. Different things apply. And Jesus gives us fresh vision so that we are not hidebound by tradition. And in the case of this argument with the Sadducees, he points out that death has been abolished, as we've just been singing. And there is no need for that family line, as the Sadducees were trying to trick him to say. The death sentence on us, on humanity, has been reversed through the saving grace of Jesus. And as we looked at last week in Ephesians, we have an alternative inheritance as the children of God. So what are the connections between these passages and the relevance to us today? Death has been overcome. We have new relationships with God. Excuse me. Through Christ, who is alive. May I have a glass of water, please? And so because we are alive in Christ, even though we were dead in our trespasses, God has made us alive together with Christ. And it's this day of remembering that reminds us to look ahead at this future that comes for us. So we look back at the past to be strong in the present now, and to have hope for the future. As you probably are all aware, this weekend is the 30-year anniversary of the demolition of the Berlin Wall. Thank you very much, Father. And that was the end of a political death that had taken place in East Germany 29 years, I think, before then. And here was now a new life of freedom for the people of East Germany. And as I was preparing for this, I came across the story of Leonard Cheshire. Leonard Cheshire was a group captain and a pilot in World War II. And after he left the RAF, he gradually became a changed man. Why shouldn't ex-service people, he thought, work together for the good of all? He was desiring to bring life where there previously had been death. And he came across an elderly man who'd come out from hospital with no family and no money, a man called Arthur. And Leonard Cheshire gave Arthur a room in his rambling house. Next to join them was a 90-year-old woman who came into their household. And with his wife, Sue Ryder, they built up this home until there were 30 residents living with them. And Leonard did all the cooking and the gardening and the nursing. And through the influence of that first resident, Arthur, who was a Christian, Leonard began thinking about God, and his faith grew. And when the house was bursting to its seams, Leonard Cheshire bought and rebuilt an old RAF station, the first of the many Cheshire homes. And I found that fascinating, that the source of death had become a beacon of life. So for all his great reputation for his wartime achievements, Leonard's aim now was humbly to show love and concern to the poor, the lonely, and the sick men and women who came across his path. And he resettled many refugees, and there are Leonard Cheshire homes throughout Europe. Where can we bring light and life into the places of darkness and death? Our Redeemer lives, and he stands with us in the earth. We must seek to break down the barriers that separate us one from another, to respond to the cries of the lonely, the homeless, and the abused. If you watched the Festival of Remembrance last night, you may recall these words from the 99-year-old US Air Force pilot, Gail Halverson. Without providing something for someone in need, the soul dies. We might not be Leonard Cheshire, but for each of us, there is an Arthur looking to us for help.